Shus, the Rosh Yeshiva, Tamidim. I'm going to talk about my dear Chavusa friend, Moshe Tversky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikum Damo. I was Chavusa with Moshe for at least a year. And we learned together in the Rav Shir and Rakesh and Zaks for approximately 10 years. He was a nista. He was a very hidden person. But Kodesh Baruch Hu was gozer that he become nigla, he become very, very revealed. So there's a chiyuv to be maspid tamid chacham kalacha, and it's a very awesome responsibility. So I want to ask mechila from the niftar if I don't do it kalacha, and special want to request mechila from him for revealing something about him, because certainly during his lifetime he wouldn't want anyone to talk about him at all. And I also want to apologize before I begin for anything I state which is wrong in fact, because I have a very poor memory. I don't remember many, many things, especially from many years ago. It's very difficult to stand here and do this. I can't really believe that this is a fact. Now, there's a very interesting thing about friends or Tamina Chachamim, Gedolim. You know, Yaakov Avinu, we know is a famous statement, Chazal say, Rashi, I can quote it also. Yaakov Avinu loy meis. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. It's not really true. There's a pasuk. I wouldn't know otherwise, but there's a pasuk. Vayechal Yaakov, Sabbath says, Bonov, Yosef Ragav Alamita, Vayikva, Vayosef Alam, it says that he died. So Al Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu loy meis. The answer is, no, mace. Mace is a certain way, it's an illusion. It's not real, because what's the difference? You know, what's the difference really if someone we know is a mace, or someone went to live in Israel and had contact with him? What's the difference to me? I don't see the person, I have no connection to him. What's the difference? It's really the whole difference is really how much in my mind do I identify with a person. If I identify with a person, then that person's alive. If I forgot about a person, then the person's dead. That's really what it is. It's not so much the physical existence of that person on this planet someplace. Because what does that negate to me? What difference does it make to me? The only difference is whether I have that person alive in my consciousness or even subconsciousness. If that person's alive in my mind, he's alive. And if not, he's not. So even though the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu v'yigva v'yosef el amav, that's physical fact. But Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Anyone who learns the parsha of last week, this week, Yaakov Avinu is 100% alive. We identify with him exactly like any other living person. And that's all that really counts when you talk about death or life. So Moshe didn't die. And I was sat in the Rav Shir for many years, and all the people that came to the Rav Shir never died. Not not Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, not Reb Chaim, who are the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, Ravid, Rav, Shmuel, oh, everybody's alive. All of the Chavarim who learned with the Rav are still alive, and the Rav is alive. Okay, we have to talk a little bit about certain things about the Niftar of Moshe. Now, you know, when you talk to the Hesper, you have to make a decision. What exactly is the goal? A few goals. So, I have only one goal, really. I'm not here to sing Moshe's praises. That's not my goal. And I'm not here to reveal everything about him. That's not my goal. My goal is only that the people are here, maybe they'll get on the web and someone will listen, that the people who listen to this will get some inspiration to do something different after the speech. That's really the only purpose. And really that's the only thing I think that he would possibly agree to. Because for sure he's not interested in praises. Never was. Now the Rav, what can I tell you about the Rav? But the Rav, he's the Makar of Chochmah. He was the source of all wisdom, actually. At least for the Yeshiva, maybe the whole world, maybe the whole world. He was the Messiah of Torah of the generation. He had it. He got it from his father, Moshe, grandfather, Chaim. Chaim's father, Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi's grandfather, Yitzchak Volozhiner, Chaim Volozhiner, going all the way back to Sinai, Smash. It's the real Torah itself. That was given to the Rav, and the Rav, of course, developed it. And the Rav put it all into Moshe, his grandson. Now, we have to try to figure out certain midos that we can relate to. His Tiro was in the week of Yaakov Avinu. Pashas tells us. Yaakov Avinu is described as an Ishtam Yeshiv HaHolim. And Chazal pick up a point from a pasuk, Titen Emes LeYaakov, that Yaakov is Emes. So really, we could say that two midos that the Torah and Chazal emphasize with Yaakov Avinu is one is Tzimimus Ishtam, Ishtam Tzimimus, and the other is Emes. What exactly is Tzimimus? I think it's one of the most difficult midos to figure out what exactly it is. It's a pasuk, Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. What does that mean? I think it's easier to talk about Emes. What is Emes? What is Emes? Okay, Torah is Emes, Hoseh B'fi. Torah is Emes, Moshe Emes, Us Emes. So if a person wants to find out the Emes of Torah, so what is he supposed to do? You have to mevakesh Emes. You have to seek Emes. Emes is not something that you bump into by accident. By accident, you only bump into Shekha. Emes, you bump into, never bump into it. You seek Emes. Mevakesh Emes. You seek Emes, maybe you'll find it. You know, you learn with the Rav, you know what it means to be Mavakish Demis. can sit on one word in the Rambam for 3 hours on Tuesday, and 3 hours on Wednesday, and 3 hours on Thursday, then, he said, maybe we know what the Rambam means. Vakin, she looked, he searched. And when a person discovers MS, what are you supposed to do with MS? You have to live MS. And that's Tmimus. That's Tamim Ti Emeshem Lakacha. You take MS and you live it, then you're Tamim. Tamim means, there's a Rashi someplace I was trying to find, I couldn't find it, but maybe you know the king will tell me where it is. The Rashi is in a negative way, that you're not supposed to have a lave choluk. You're not supposed to have a split heart. You have to have a lave tamim, a full heart. What it means is that, you know, we say in davening, lamed, lishma velasas lakayim, a lot of different words. The saying over there is that lilmay. I learn, I work, I discover emes. Then I go to lamed, I have to share this emes with other people. And then lishma, I have to protect that emes. And velasas, I have to try to live that emes. Or lakayim, and I do live that emes. And if someone is Yaakov Avinu, or a type like Yaakov Avinu, is Hesh Emes, he's a Mavakish Emes, and he works literally without stop to get to the Emes. When he finds the Emes, he does it. He does it. It's not a problem. His lave is not choluk. There's no conflict. There's no conflict between what's true and what is real. It has to be real. It's true. So that little mode, it's so simple, l'kayim. A person like that is ishtam. He's an ishtam. He's tamim. He doesn't have any conflicts. Once he learns it, he does it. That's why Yaakov is MS and Tam. Those are the two midos. MS and Tam. That's why a few things just to point out, just a very, very tiny few things. You know, he was here in the Shiva. You see, it's such a, for me, it's such a, such an incredible situation. Because I look around, I see Bachman. And I was a Bachman in this yeshiva. Way before, I guess, almost everybody here was born. And I learned the Beis Medrash, but it was the other one. And in that Beis Medrash, Moshe Tversky learned. And he had a chavusa, Chaim Olson. And they were Mavaksha Emes. And they just learned. So, you know, that a night chavusa. So they start, I don't know, after supper, 8 o'clock, and just go learn, learn, learn. So after Maghrib, you know, it gets a little thinner. So they're learning at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, gets even thinner, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. There's nobody there except them. And then, say, so you know what, we're getting a little bit tired, let's go to sleep. So they go to sleep, and they wake up for Shachrus, regular in the Beis Medrash Shachrus, 7:45. And the next night, the same thing. Also, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. And there, for the last couple of hours, they're the last ones in the Beis Medrash. as they do for year after year. I remember once a boy came into the Rav Shir and he saw this going on. He says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm laughing because not everybody can do it. Anyway, he tried. So first night he stayed up and he learned and he meant well. But that night they got involved in something, so instead of leaving the base manager at 3, they left at 4. But he stayed because he had to stay. He told me the story himself. Next night, so 2 o'clock, 2:30, they're going at it strong. And he collapses. He says, I never did this before, I can't do it. He gave up. But I want to say that they were learning till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They weren't doing it stamp, you know, show off or to try to break records. They that's it, you know, they had the it was Lumad Velasas for Gisa Bayam Velaila. I don't think they even struggled to try to force themselves to stay up. They were gifted by God with this level of asmada, and so you do it. It's simple, it's mimus. I heard that his wife said while she was sitting shiva that in all the years they were married, he never once asked her for a favor. Never once said, "Could you cook supper tonight? Could you bring me a coffee? Could you take my shirts to the cleaner?" In all the years, he never asked her for a favor. Never asked any child for a favor. It's amazing. It's really amazing. You know, as a parent, as a husband, I can't imagine not asking my wife for a favor. So she said that the reason that he didn't ask for favors, she knows, because he was working. He wanted to be self-sufficient. There's a midah to be his tapkusta, and not to be lazy, not to be atzlan. If you can do something yourself, do it. You know, it's one of the midahs. Zvizus. So you do it yourself. And it says the Tanakh, means you do it on your own, it's better. You live that way. They said a story of the Talmidim that when it snowed in Yerushalayim, so he was a Rebbe in Yerushalayim, so no buses. He lives in Hanof and the yeshivas and down wherever it was in Gula. So the boys went out to have a snowball fight. And he's the only Rebbe who marched from Hanof down to the yeshiva, hiked 4 miles in the snow to give a shiur. He had a job. He said, I heard last night in the Hesped, one of his friends said that when they made Aliyah, so this man starts at a certain date in the yeshiva. His wife was 2 weeks before giving birth to a baby. So instead of asking, Rashid, I'll come a month late, I'll miss Elul. So he didn't even ask, he's going to go. He went and told his wife, you know, give me a call when you're going to the hospital, I'll come back. And of course, he missed the birth of the baby, but he got back for the bris. He felt that he has to be there at the beginning of his man. After many, many years of learning in Israel, and it was really a big, big, big gadol. So he says to his wife, no, I never really was Mashamesh, the big tzaddik in Manchester, the big tzaddik, it's world famous. I want to go there for Elul, for Shani Yom Kippur. So she said, okay. So he left her with the family, went to be in Manchester. I don't know how old he was, 50 years old. Whatever. Spent 40 days. He's not a bocha. He's a married man. But he wanted to develop himself. If there's a big tzaddik in Manchester, I have to go there. It's always mavakish to emes. All the time. I personally think he got it from the Rav, because I was the Rav. And he had that tzmimus, that just if it's right, you do it. he was very, very shy man. He was a nista, really nista. But he was always makabel, at least me and the people I saw, the save upon him yafas, the big smile. And I think there was, he worked on himself. Gemara says, makabel kol panim, kol adam save upon him yafas. So he did it. An amazing smile. You see the pictures, you see the smile. I also think another thing which he did, I'm trying to pick things which we can relate to. I'm not talking about things which I don't think anyone can relate to. No, he used the Rav's Einikol. His father was a big time Chacham, the Rav's son-in-law. His father was also a great scholar in secular studies. His father, Dr. Tversky, was the chairman of Harvard Jewish Studies graduate school. He was a world famous man. So he went to Harvard. Moshe Tversky went to Harvard. I'm trying to find out what was his major. So I know it's a machlekes between different people. One person said it was philosophy, another person said it was classics, and a third person told me it was psychology. He's not in the game. Anyway, he got a BA in Harvard, and his father's a chairman of a big of a major department. So what happened? I don't know what day it was. Maybe it was the day after the graduation, the day before. Anyway, one day he finished, he got his BA, picked up, and went to yeshiva, came to YU, and here. I think that was it. I mean, I never saw him ever quote a secular book. Only Torah. Never heard of anybody. He once made a joke about something that somebody quoted something from English literature as a raya to some chreis musa or something. So he said to the fellow, "Why are you quoting English literature? It's in Confucius." Because he knew from Harvard that Confucius says it. But that was a joke. It wasn't that he was studying Confucius anymore. He made that decision. I think it's a very, very important decision. You know, guys on the Torah Mada track, it doesn't mean that you stay with Torah Mada your whole life. Okay, it means that at some point you make really a choice. Are you going to be mainly Torah, only Torah? Mainly Mada, only Mada. 99% of the people come out of YU, come to them 10 years later. They're not Torah Mada 50-50 like here today. Now you're 50-50. You learn Gemara till 3 o'clock. Then you go to college, another 5-6 hours. Then you have an evening. So basically you're 50-50. 99% of you in another few years are never going to be 50-50. So you have to make a choice. What am I going to be? What's amazing is that this fellow, Moshe Tversky, he is father the chairman in Harvard. His grandfather, Rav, is also PhD, not an ignoramus. And he decided. He's Kulei Torah. He's not 50-50. He's not 80-20. He's not 90-10 Torah. He's 100% Torah. That was his decision. He saw it. He saw that for him, that's what it says. It says, "Vagista b'yamim v'layla." And that's the way he lived till the day he died. He saw the MS, he did it. He was really the Rav put into him, like Rashi says, about Yaakov with Yosef. So Ben Zakunim, so Rashi says, Bachakim Hulei, Koma Shalomad Neshem Ve'eva Masalei. He gave over to him all the Torah he knew from Shem Ve'edrov, put so much into Moshe. Amazing. I once asked Moshe Tversky, you know, I like to write Sfarim of the Rav. So I asked Moshe, I said, maybe you write up, I know that you're the only person I know we're going with the Rav, all of Zvachim and Menachas, with every Shita Mekubetzas. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Every Shita Mekubetzas and Zvachim and Menachas. It's unbelievable. Heavy Rambam. I said, you did it with him. So could you do the world and me a favor and write up what the Rav said? So he gives me a big smile. And he says, all the Rav said was Lepshat. He didn't say Chidushin. Okay. For him it was Pshat. For me, Pshat is a Chidush. But okay. It was one of these things which never happened. But it's Hashem, one day we'll see. So you learn Torah Lishma is managed the Amida of Shevet Levi. Yer Mishpatech Liyakov Mishpatech Liyisrael. It comes from Shevet Levi. And also his other Rebbe, Rav Gershon Zaks, he got that from him also. Another important midah, he had this simcha, yeah, very, very, I want you to take a look at his picture, but you know, the picture of him alive. He was a very handsome guy, very handsome, and a deep black eyes. If you look into those eyes, you always saw a bright light in the eye. I don't know how many times you notice things in people's eyes, but eyes speak. Eyes of people speak. It's good to look into a person's eyes. Baba Cherebi Zitzal, I went to him a few times, he had eyes that looked through you. I looked into his eyes and I was frightened, because this man had eyes which looked through me. They saw the back of my head. Amazing. Then with Moshe, I looked in his eyes and I always saw a light. There was a light dancing in the center of the black eye. And take a look at the picture which they're showing. You see the light in the eye. Amazing. And those bright eyes were really, I think, or Pnei Hashem. The awe of Hashem. And he had a simcha. And he walked with a bounce. And he smiled. And he loved, the Rav also smiled a lot while they were learning. As it says, Kud Hashem Misham Mesam Chalev. And Mitzvah Hashem brought me Iras Einayim. And Iras Hashem Tahira. And Mishpat Hashem Emes Tzadku Yachtov. Everything was amazing. A regular guy had all of these things. The Simcha and the Miras and Naim and the Tahara and the Emes and Yachtov, everything was with the Tzmimus, with the Shlemus. Okay, that's what I want to talk about, something we can learn from. Now I want to talk a little about Kiddush Hashem. Dying Kiddush Hashem. To tell you the truth, I thought that Kiddush Hashem is something that you read about in books. People in the Holocaust, pogroms, Inquisition. Never thought that Kos Chavusa, friend, would die in Kiddush Hashem. Let me go about Kiddush Hashem. There's a Maimach Chazal, very interesting Maimach Chazal, about Kiddush Hashem. It says like this, it says, Yosef, Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seser, Hesef Lo'ois Achas Mishmai, Yehuda, Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Golui, Kulei Nikra Al Shmai. Yosef, he was Makadish Shem Shemayim B'Seser. He's alone in Egypt. He's a slave. He's in a dungeon. And beautiful woman is seducing him. And she has the power to kill him. He says no. Kiddush Hashem, B'seisem. No one knows. He has no idea that the Torah is going to write about this hundreds of years later. No idea. It's completely B'seisem. So he gets an extra letter. So in Tehillim, David HaMelech calls him Yehosef. Yud Hei Vav Samach Pei. Gets one extra letter. So he, instead of Yud Vav, it's now Yud Kei Vav. Kei. In other words, he gets the first three letters of a Kaddish Baruch name. For that, Kiddush Hashem, B'seisa. Yud Kei Vav. And Yehuda, Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'goli. Because Yehuda was Modal Emes. He said, Tzadka Mimeni. I'm the guy who made Tamar pregnant. Wasn't right. It's very embarrassing. He admitted that B'goli. Kiddush Hashem for Hesia. He has Yud Kei Vav Kei Mamash in his name. Yud Kei Vav Kei Nadalad, which is also a Kaddish Baruch. So that's what the Gemara says. Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seisa, you get three letters of God's name. Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Golui, you get four letters of God's name. I want to explain this a little bit. And I must say, I would give credit to Shem Shmuel. Basically, all the things I mashkoff is from him. So he says like this. He says, there's really two kinds of Kiddush Hashem. There's the Seser and Goli. Now, Seser is a very, very, very difficult kind of Kiddush Hashem, because almost all of us, a tremendous motivation is publicity, honor. You think about it. Think about it. Someone tells me, you know, you're good, you're great, you did this good thing. It's a motivator. You know, it's old school of psychology, positive reinforcement. But do something no one will ever say to me, it was good. No one will ever compliment me. No one will ever know about it. That's besesa. That's difficult. That's a very difficult thing. And another thing about seisa. Seisa usually is something which takes a very long time to do. Because there's no support. I'm completely alone. So it takes a very long time to accomplish. So Yosef, he was in the dungeon and in Egypt, I don't remember how many years, but over 10 years. 22 years until Yaakov Avinu finally found him. So he's alone for 20 plus years. And all this time he has to stay religious, firm, keep the Torah. It's long, it's very hard. Yudah, his Kiddush Hashem B'Goli, okay, you know, it's a great thing. He was embarrassed publicly, but it's only a moment. So why does Yosef, he gets three letters, Yudah gets four letters. Things like this. It's very, very difficult to get the three letters. That's, you know, to build the base and to make the whole structure. And then comes Makabah Patish, the final thing. But the first three letters, the Yud Hei Vav, that's the whole structure. If you know Lul Kabbalah, you know what I'm talking about. And the last Hei is just the seal, the Chasima. But the whole Ksiva, the whole thing is the first three. Yosef, he has to build life in Egypt. After he builds that whole thing in Egypt, what it means to be in a dungeon, what it means to be alone, what it means to be a king in Egypt, then the Jews can come down and they hopefully will be able to handle Egypt. Yehuda comes, the leader. The pasuk is a big discussion in Medrash. V'nigash kotzer el choresh. The guy who harvests, he comes in after the person that did all the plowing and planting and watering and taking care of the field. Finally comes a kotzer, and he does it. So after Yosef, he does all that work, comes down Yehuda, and they meet. And they build a Klai Yisrael. It's usually two different kinds of people. There's a person, the Seis, and a person, the Goli. But here in this case, we have a person who lived 59 and a half years b'seisa. No one paid any attention to him. He's a Rebbe in the yeshiva, not a Rosh Yeshiva, a regular Magid Shir, doing everything really privately. No one's writing books about him. No one's telling stories about him. He's plugging away, doing his things. And then all of a sudden, one instant, he does a Kiddush Hashem. The whole world talks about him. So one man is a Yosef and then a Yehuda. I don't know. I can't explain it. Why this happened. Why it happened. I can't explain how it happened. Maybe it was Tamim. So Tamim. Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokach. If you have Tamimus, you become together with Hashem. Rashi says, Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokach, V'az Tia Imo L'chelka. Then you become together with Hashem. You can do a Kiddush Hashem B'seisa. 59 years, you can do a Kiddush Hashem B'goli in 5 seconds. You can be Yosef, you could be Yehuda, because you're Yaakov. I want to finish with one last thing. We actually have to give credit also to Shem Shmuel, an amazing thing. Gemara in Sukkah says, and Daf Mem Hei, Amachiski Amrebi Yemiyam Shem Shem Bo Yechai, we see B'nei Aliyah V'Hem Watim, Him Shnayim Hem Ani U'B'ni Mehen. He says, Shem Bo Yechai says, I have a son, Lazar. There's something called B'nei Aliyah, great people. He says, no matter how many, you can look around the world, try to find great people, exalted people, inspired people. I and my son among them. It could be 100, it could be 10, 2. I and my son will be there. So the Master Kasha there in Sukkah, Mem Hei, Mizucha Kula Hai, so few great people, only 2. Well, it says in the Baisa, there are 36 Sadiqim. So the Gemara answers like Kasha, Hoda Aili Babar, Hoda Aili Beloibar. What does it mean, the Aili Babar, Aili Beloibar? So it's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. And the Aruch, he writes a pshat, an amazing pshat. He says, Aili Babar, the people who come with their own, the father and a son, Bar is like a Bani, a Ben, is only 2. Shem Bo Yechai, his son. But the other 36 or 34, there are 34 people, but there's not a father with a son. Father and son is very, very rare. That's what Shem Bo Yechai meant. It's a good pshat in the Gemara. Now there's a Midrash in Parshas Vayakhel. It says like this. The Pasuk writes, by building the Mishkan, Re'ei, Karasi, B'Shem, B'Tzalel, Ben-Uri, Ben-Chur, L'mata Yehuda. I call B'Tzalel, Ben-Uri, Ben-Chur, he'll build the Mishkan. So the Medrash says, Ma ro askirim kan chur? Why are we mentioning, the Torah is mentioning the grandfather? The Torah always mentions Chreis, father, son, so and so forth, Kolek ben Yefuna. Doesn't say the grandfather. Asniel ben Knaz, doesn't say a grandfather. Nachshon ben Aminadab. All of a sudden here the Torah says B'tzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Ella, B'shash shebikshu Yisrael labad avoy dezorah, nasa nafsha ala kodesh bochu, v'lo yinicha, omdu v'hagu, omla kodesh bochu, chayecha, ani perei lecho, kol bonim, hayoytze mimcho, ani magadlam, shem toy ba'olam. So Chur gave his life on Kiddush Hashem. He was killed trying to stop the Egel. The Kiddush Hashem. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you get a schar. Your grandson, Bezalel, he will build a Mishkan and be a great Kiddush Hashem. It's a very interesting medrash. So the words like this. Chur, he was Makad Hashem Shemayim B'Seisa. The Torah itself never mentions it. Look through the whole Chumash, you're not going to find any trace that the Torah says Chur was killed on Kiddush Hashem. So Rashi, from a Medrash, never. His Kiddush Hashem was B'seisa. His death was lost in the tragedy of the Egel. They kept doing the Egel after they killed him. In the end, Moshe came down and broke a luchos, and it was a whole gan samaisa. Hu's death was completely lost in what was going on there, was incidental along the way. He's makadosh shem shmaim b'seisim. So Hashem Baruch says, "Give a schar to you, your grandson, Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur. He'll be makadosh shem shmaim b'goli, build the mishkan, tremendous kiddush Hashem." So I think that we can say something like that. The Rav is a grandfather, and Moshe Torsky is his grandson. And someone called me up, a Talmud, and he told me like this. He says, "You know, Rebbe," he says, "how can I tell you? You lost a chaver. There's nothing I can say, but I want to tell you one thing. I'm sure that your chaver, Moshe, is learning now b'shemayim with the Rav." That should be in the Chama. It is. But I would like to be there also. I would also want to learn so often and often and go through every sheet of courses. That would be those two. They were Makad Hashem Shemayim, such a serious nefesh, b'seisim. And at the last moment, it became goy. Like Chur, he did the Kiddush Hashem, b'seisim, and with his grandson, Betzalel, it became goy. Yehi Zecho Baruch.